the development of the load-carrying saddle and the domesticated camel revolutionized long-distance travel on land. And this revolution extended also to maritime trade. The Red Sea became the crossroads between Asia and Africa, and between India and the Mediterranean world. And of all the cities close by, it was Meroe that was most strategically placed to benefit from the trade. From land routes up the Nile, which extended also into the Ethiopian highlands, from caravan tracks and routes which extended deep into the central and southern Sahara, and with caravan routes that went to the Red Sea, where cargoes were lifted and taken on cargo ships on the monsoon winds to India. It was one of the centers of the caravan trade, a city that was also extremely prosperous on the basis of its iron working. There were large outcrops of iron close to Meroe, which were exploited extensively, and the iron was traded widely. The kings of Meroe aped the pharaohs. They were black kings, African kings, but they fostered ancient religious beliefs of the Egyptians. This is hardly surprising, because their predecessors had been devout worshippers of the god Amun, and when they moved south, deeper into Africa, they took their religious beliefs with them. But Meroe had a transitory prosperity. It was situated in a semi-arid area, and it appears that it was overgrazed. But at the same time, the constant tides of trading activity shifted further south in the Red Sea. Why? Because at the mouth of the Red Sea was the island of Socotra, a cosmopolitan island which was one of the major centers for the frankincense trade. Very lucrative. And Meroe was a bit out of the margin. Its greatest prosperity, Meroe's, was in the first century AD, about the time of Christ. It was only once visited by Romans, by two Roman legionaries. It was outside the Roman world, although it was in direct touch with it. And then in about AD 330, as Meroe was beginning to decline, King Izana II of the city of Aksum in the Ethiopian highlands conquered Meroe, which passed into obscurity. Aksum lay further south, high in the Ethiopian highlands, at a strategic location close to the Red Sea mouth. Its port, Adulis, was very strategically placed and controlled an enormous volume of Indian Ocean trade and was in touch not only with caravan routes, but with Alexandria at the head of the Red Sea. Here, the Red Sea is narrow. Ideas flowed freely across the Red Sea between Africa and Arabia. Africa had a gateway. The gateway was Aksum. And Aksum, like Manubia in ancient Egyptian times, became a critical conduit for African raw materials. Gold, ivory, hides, and other exotica. It was a tropical marketplace. In exchange, it received goods from all over the ancient world. Cloth from India in particular. Aksum was an African state. It was ruled by a hereditary elite who controlled both agriculture and trading activity. These were powerful monarchs. At the height of their power, in the late first millennium AD, they maintained overland trade routes with Aswan in Egypt, a 30-day camel journey northward. The Red Sea was 8 days to the east.